like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. BYU basketball back in action tomorrow here on KSL against the Kansas Jayhawks, number 7 ranked Jayhawks. It's the first meeting between BYU and Kansas since 2019 at the Maui Invitational. First visit to Allen Fieldhouse since 1971. I swear, every Big 12 first for BYU basketball this year ties back to that 1971 season. Kresimir Kosic and crew played Kansas State. They played Cincinnati. They played Kansas that year. They played so many Big 12 teams. Oklahoma State as well, but they also get the Kansas Jayhawks. And BYU, all-time record against KU, 4-1. The lone win, 1960. In Provo, that was in the Smith Fieldhouse. So it's been a minute, and BYU gets the chance every year now in the Big 12 to take on a blue blood like the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's get now to our what's trending up and trending down in the world of BYU basketball as we get ready for BYU versus KU.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
Mitch, let's start things off. Let's get the negative stuff, the trending down, out of the way, and then we can have a little positivity before we get to that game tomorrow night, which you can hear right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. Trending down for me. This guy is a potential first-round NBA draft pick. I'm talking about Jackson Robinson. His stock is soaring amongst NBA scouts, and rightfully so. He's had a great year. He's got a lot of NBA skills. One of those, Mitch, his three-point shooting. However, his three-point shooting has not been working well on the road as of late. That's why he's trending down for me. He's only made 3 of his last 21 three-point attempts in the last 3 road games. If he's going to be an NBA player, if he's going to be one of your best players, you need him to play well on the road. It's critical that Jackson figure this out before the tournament because they're not going to be at the Marriott Center anymore. They're going to be neutral site, on the road, NBA gyms. BYU needs Jackson Robinson to shoot the ball better when he's away from the Marriott Center.
That's a good poll. Do you still believe Jax is going to be a first-round pick?
I do, because his measurables are good, and that's all that matters when it comes to the NBA draft, it seems like. It's not about a 3-4-year career where you put up great numbers. It's how big's the wingspan, how big are the hands. I think Robinson will test well.
I do, too. And I think that he's probably early second, but I do think he's going to get picked because you do see that quick release. And there were moments in that Kansas State game where he was the only guy that showed up early on for BYU on the offensive end, but he has to be more efficient. That's always been kind of a knock on Jax, is there's probably not a shot from three that he doesn't like. Sometimes you got to rein it in, I would imagine. But, hey, that's what Mark Pope pitched to him was the ultimate green light, and he's got that at BYU. For me, it's BYU's defense going back to that. I just think that there's been a lot of just wide-open looks to these teams on the road, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and they look like world beaters against BYU. And you know that offensively, they don't have much. I mean, UCF, too, put up 88 points against BYU. These are some of the worst offenses in the league, and they're putting up big numbers on BYU. It's a concerning trend because this last 4 games is going to be difficult. I mean, all these next 3 games, Matt, BYU could lose all of them. They could lose to Kansas. Definitely lose to Kansas because they're on the road. TCU on Saturday, they're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. Iowa State might be the toughest home venue in the conference this year. They beat Houston and Kansas there. And then Oklahoma State beat you a couple weeks ago to close out the regular season. So you got to get things right on the defensive end if you're BYU. Let's look at what's trending up, though. What do you have that's moving in the right direction for the Cougars heading into this game against Kansas?
Well, you mentioned this important stretch coming up where they're 7-7. They got 4 games. I think 8-10, you're probably okay. 9-9, I'm feeling really good about a guaranteed spot in the tournament, regardless of what happens in the tournament. If you don't win any of them, you got work to do in the tournament. The good news for me, what is trending up? The Marriott Center home court advantage is maybe the best it's ever been. It was outstanding last week against Baylor. And we have heard multiple coaches, Coach Drew, Coach Tang, Coach Otzenberger from Iowa State. Like, we've heard a lot of these coaches mention how difficult the Mary Center is to play, and it's given BYU a boost. You can see it statistically. You can see it in the players, the way that they play. There's an energy at which they play at home in the Mary Center. To me, they've got to win these two home games. I know TCU's playing good ball. If you get TCU and Iowa State, excuse me, Iowa State, that'd be a great win, Iowa State. Oklahoma State, you're 9-9, assuming you lose your road games, and you're in the tournament. So the Marriott Center advantage, it was really impressive against Baylor, and it needs to be a big advantage in these last two home games because they're winnable games. Like, I know TCU's playing well, but they're not going to win the national championship. Like, that's a winnable game against TCU. And Oklahoma State, you got to beat Oklahoma State at home. So the Marriott Center home court advantage, to me, it's trending up. It's been a big boost for a team that's 14-2 at home this year.
801-575-8255. You can share your thoughts on BYU basketball or weigh in on our question, what will it take for BYU to take down Kansas tomorrow night? My trending up, Matt, is Atiki Aliatiki. I thought he gave some good minutes off the bench for BYU. 10 minutes of action, only one foul, 6 points, 3 rebounds. It could be a case of, that was just a good matchup against K-State going up against a traditional big like Will McNair for the Wildcats. But I thought those were minutes that BYU and Atiki can build on heading into the home stretch that, hey, if, you know, Ali Khalifa and Foose, if you're not playing good defense, we're not afraid to turn to that third option in Atiki at the five. And, like, I thought that Atiki played pretty well in those minutes. And I liked the strong post grabs that he had. It was interesting, too, watching him perform on the offensive end, very similar to the moves that he always practices with Mark Pope and Colin Terry, the new assistant coach who works with the bigs, the post moves that he always works on. And, look, you'd like a little bit more from Atiki in year three. You'd feel like he should probably be more of a consistent, you know, top eight of the rotation guy by now, still young, and you hope that, you know, he sticks around with the program going forward into the future, because I just think he gives you these flashes where you go, what does that look like over the course of 30 minutes a night? Because if he can do that consistently, this guy could be a monster. So I like those minutes from Atiki, and hopefully there could be a role for him heading down the home stretch.
I like that pick a lot. And what do you think of him playing the rest of the second half? Was that just Atiki was playing well, or is that also maybe a message to Ali Khalifa that, hey, like, you got to bring it night in and night out? What'd you make of that decision?
I thought it was they needed more athleticism in the lineup. K-State, to their credit, they had some good explosive athletes, and, you know, BYU is never going to be known as the athletic team in the Big 12, at least not this year. And I think Atiki brings that, and that's why I felt like it was maybe a good matchup for him. I don't know if it translates to Kansas. I can only imagine what that would look like, him versus Hunter Dickinson. Like, I can't picture that, but he might give Hunter the 5 toughest fouls he's experienced this season if Atiki gets on the floor. But I thought it was the case of athleticism, but also a statement, as you alluded to, because Ali Khalifa was not playing good defense. He's got to play better on the defensive end. If you're going to stay on the floor, every minute matters, and every possession, you got to get better, because BYU's defensive numbers have dipped since his return from the flu bug. Maybe it's just coincidence, but they have regressed. So BYU's got to get better on that defensive end. And look, Atiki still had his issues defensively against K-State. It wasn't like K-State suddenly went on this massive lull when Atiki stepped in, but I did like the minutes he gave on the offensive end and some of the possessions where he's grabbing rebounds and limiting K-State to only one look at the basket.
Yeah, he might have a role to play in this game, because I think it's, to me, as we get more into the Kansas preview, and we'll do that all in this next segment as well, we can take your calls. 801-575-8255. We'd love to have a few BYU fans chime in on what this team needs to do to beat Kansas tomorrow. And you mentioned it, Mitch. Maybe Atiki is going to be that dark horse who gives you a big performance. You just can't get blasted in the paint. I know Kansas is exceptional in the paint. That's where they do the majority of their damage. But you can't get outscored by 30, 40, 50 points in the paint and beat Kansas. That's not going to happen. And maybe Atiki can help you in that regard defensively.
No question. And honestly, I just hope that BYU starts to put out a product that gives you some momentum and excitement going into the NCAA tournament, because I feel confident BYU's a lock to get to March Madness.
Still. What if they go 7-11 in conference play?
I still think they would get in. I do. You don't think
really?
They would? I mean, they're sitting right now as a 6 seed potentially.
You would be putting two things so opposed, BYU and getting a friendly pick in the tournament, and then the power of the Big 12. Which one would win out, the power of the Big or the snubbing of BYU throughout the years of the tournament seed?
I think the power of the Big 12 would win out. And BYU has been an advanced metrics darling this entire year. And
the narrative, it's not in their favor right now. A lot of people are
still
not
top
BYU stock.
Still top 15 in the net, and they're going to finish guaranteed. Even if they lost out in the regular season, they're going to finish in the top 25 of the net ratings. You're not leaving out a top 25 team from a Power 6 conference out of the field of 68. It's just not going to happen. Now, BYU, I think, to get to a comfort level of a 6 seed, a 5 seed, you got to win probably your two home games, but yeah, I feel like BYU's
in. Oh, 5 seed. You got to win 3 of the next 4. I feel like to get a. You think a 5 seed, Mitch?
If they go 9,
might not have a winning record in conference. They can't be a 5 seed.
Look, Iowa State last year lost 7 of their last 10 games, and got a 6 seed. This league, the committee and the metrics love the Big 12, and look. They're going to have – it'll be interesting to see how this league performs in the NCAA tournament. I mean, there could be some early exits from this conference. It's bound to happen because some of them will face tough seed lines where there are a 7, 8, 9, not the ideal spots to get far in the tournament. But I think that BYU's in. I just think that they've already got 3 wins over teams that were AP top 25 teams. History has shown when BYU teams do that, they're not only getting in the NCAA tournament, they're advancing to the round of 32. The last 3 times it's happened, that has been the case, 2011, 2010, 1988. And BYU in each of those years won at least 1 game in the NCAA tournament. BYU's getting in. And it's just the one area where it could hurt them, where they could start to slip in a rapid manner, is if they get blown out. So if you go to Kansas tomorrow and lose by 25, well, then things, and then if you lose to TCU by 10, then things start to slip faster. But, yeah, I think BYU's in, Matt. I just do, because I think that there's a ton of respect for what BYU's built on the advanced metric side, and the Big 12 strength is going to lift BYU to where they're already a lock to me. It's a matter of working on seeding going forward.
I hope you're right, because I still feel like there's a little work to be done to guarantee it. 8-10, I think, is enough to feel good. You just win your home games, and I think you've got a shot at having a really good seed. Six would be nice. If you were to lock down a 6 seed going to the NCAA tournament, that'd be a really good place to be.
801-575-8255, taking our final timeout. Let's preview BYU versus Kansas. We'll share our predictions and preview the matchup as the Cougs go to Allen Fieldhouse tomorrow night. It's good.